The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's March the 1st, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of Agrivisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, the Energy Department awards millions of dollars in funding for cellulosic ethanol plants. The EPA is ready to let up on reporting requirements by farmers. And there's a recommendation for achieving 25 by 25. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half-hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau and Darrell Good's take on the export market for corn. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Taking a look at how the numbers settled in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit, March contract off 6.5 cents at $4.68 today. May at 4.79 down 9, and July were off 8.5 at $4.90. December futures at 5.10 were off 7.5 for the day. March corn futures 4.17 1/4, they were down 8. The May futures at 4.28 down 7.5, and July 8 lower at 4.36 1/4. September's 4.24 down 7.5. December your new crop at 4.13 1/4 down 6.75. And the March contract for next year at 4.21 1/4 in the corn pit, down 5.75 on the afternoon. From the soy complex, nearby March bean, 7.46 1/4, down 27 cents. May futures at 7.62, off 25.5 for the day. And July at 7.76 1/4, down 26 1/4. September's at 7.87, we're down 24. November beans down 23 3/4 at 7.99 1/2. They finished below $8. January futures at 8.05, settled at 24.5 cents lower. March bean meal down 4.60 for the day at 2.19.80. And the March bean oil down 72 at 29.53. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby March feeder cattle, up 80 cents at 102.40. The Aprils were down 15 at $104 even. April live cattle at 96.15 were down 90 cents. The Junes at 94.37 1/2 were down $1.12 1/2. And the April lean hogs at 66.12 1/2 were off $1.62 1/2. The May futures there down $1.27 1/2 at $75.92 1/2. Outside markets, crude oil April contract 16 cents higher at $61.95. The CRB index at 312.22 off 17. And the Dow now at 12,258, and it's down just about 10 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of Agrivisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Well, the weather outside is just about as rocky as things have been in Chicago this week. Tell me about your expectations for tomorrow. Could be, well, it is an outside week in the corn market. Whether it's going to be down or up has yet to be determined.
Well, the odds would probably favor a down week. Today we did, you know, manage to come back off our lows and, I guess, put in a decent close, if you want to call 7 or 8 cents down a decent close. We could have been down 15, I guess. So, but we are down for the week going into the weekend. Probably in this type of environment, anything could happen, but it does look to me that the bears have it. When you get into that situation, I think what you'll see is more bulls folding tomorrow rather than the bears folding. So we'll have to kind of see how that plays out. But it does look like wheat and corn are going to end up with outside down days or outside down weeks, let's put it that way. And, you know, that kind of suggests that probably next week's going to be going to see some more technical pressures.
The Bears have it at the moment. You have a downside objective where they might be able to wrestle away from them?
Well, I suppose at this point on the corn, you got to say $4. You know, you got to look at the benchmark figure. But, you know, I don't know how bearish I want to really be, but I mean, once you get into a money game type situation, anything could kind of happen. And like I said, the Bears are ahead for the week. They might begin to feel a little more, you know, strength and kind of push the bull around a little bit, get him to shake out. But, you know, I suppose initially you got to say this $4 area is going to be support, and if that busts through, then you're looking maybe kind of like at the 390 type thing, which was resistance there before we kind of broke up through 390 there back in, I forget whether it was early January or whatever. So 390 is probably the worst-case scenario, at least on this particular decline.
Not too terribly bad if you're a corn farmer and you're looking at the prices.
No, but it is off the highs. When you take a look at the highs so far here on the lead options being 435, mm-hmm. and if we would slip back to 390, that's kind of a meaningful decline. When you take that into account, you know, there's been some years that that's the range we've had, I guess.
yeah, the total trading range.
Yeah, the total range.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
the year.
For the 45 cents. I understand. So, and it's worth a lot of money to a producer, depending on the number of acres he has, the number of bushels that he has to sell. Any reason at this point that you want to add to sales in this kind of market, or are you willing to wait it out?
Well, my work is tricky in here. I mean, I follow a 10-week cycle pattern in corn. Sometimes that cycle pattern becomes 7 weeks. There's a shot that this could be, you know, extreme right translation for a 7-week high and low during the same week of trade or within a few days of one another. Those are rare, but that is a possibility. So, you know, I guess if we could come back and close higher for the week, then I would kind of lean toward, you know, we've completed a 7-week cycle phase, and then we're about ready to maybe start a new 7 and/or 10-week cycle phase that would lift the market higher during March, and then that would, you know, that would kind of put us right around the March 30th report and whatever kind of early planning activity may or may not be taking place by April 1. But if we finish out the week lower, I would have to kind of lie side with another couple weeks of weakness, maybe 3 weeks going into the third week of March or so. Then we would stabilize and then gear up to see what USDA has to tell us on the 30th. And then that would kind of, you know, keep the door open then for maybe a rally into late April, early May type time frame. So, depending upon how we finish out the week, my biases at this point would be that we're working a 10-week cycle, and we've got 2 to 3 weeks of consolidation and some corrective measures that kind of take place here in the corn market over during the first few weeks here in March.
So tomorrow will be the telltale day for you for the corn market. On the bean side, technically, does that market look a lot worse than the corn or not?
We don't have a weekly down, but we do have a solid trade under the previous week's low, a very decisive one. So that tells me that the cyclical forces have also turned down in soybeans, and like soybeans kind of follow an 8 to 9 type week cycle. So this is week 7. So that would tell me that you could maybe have a couple weeks of weakness yet in soybeans. So my guess is that both corn and soybeans would kind of settle down together into some kind of middle March or late March low. I think at that point forward, then, I think they could diverge rather than they kind of go together. It'll be hard to get one to go up, one to go down, but I think we might be in one of those situations here from mid-March on, and that all depends upon, you know, spring weather. If spring weather breaks early, the corn planters start moving fairly quickly, beans would have to go lower. I mean, it'd be very difficult to get beans in that environment. But on the other hand, beans would go up in that environment.
Yes.
On the other hand, where if it was wet and we couldn't get much planted, beans would, continue to drift downward, I think, for the month of April.
What's your longer-term cyclical analysis look like, rather than the 7 or 10?
So well, this is a danger window here. This would be kind of the early variance window where the yearly high could be taking place in here. My biases has been to give the market more seasonal room, which would be, you know, let the month of April and May play out, simply because the function of the market this year is to worry about new crop prospects, and until everything is planted and off and running, I think it would be real difficult to totally kill the market unless we have an outside force come into place. And I think we begin to get a taste of what an outside force could do to us on world recessionary concerns. If those would the market would begin to really worry about something like that down the road, that would really pull the plug on demand. That would really pull the plug on energy prices. Then all of this energy value factor that's priced into agriculture economies would have to be taken out, because if you're going to get into a recession, you're going to use less energy, and you know, oil prices, rather than being $60 or $70 or $80 that some people would like to make them, they would be maybe down into the $40s. So that is something you probably have to worry about. Maybe that might be the wall of worry that we need to climb. But any kind of world recessionary type thing could really pull the plug on commodity pricing opportunities here through the growing season.
Dan, we appreciate you being with us today.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens each and every Thursday afternoon. At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Pete Levitt, meteorologist. Our own Ed Kieser has been watching the weather as it makes its way across the state of Illinois, in particular in east central Illinois. A tornado watch in effect, by the way, for Champaign, Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Shelby, and Vermilion counties. That until 6 o'clock tonight. And until 2:45 this afternoon, a severe thunderstorm warning is in effect for Champaign County and east central Illinois. Locations impacted include St. Joe, Sidney, Gifford, Ogden, and Homer. If you're in the way of that storm, prepare for some damaging winds, large hail, deadly cloud to ground lightning. People outside should, of course, move to shelter, preferably inside a strong building, but stay away from those windows. Some rough weather out there this afternoon.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
In today's agricultural news, Energy Secretary Sam Bodman has announced an investment of up to $385 million for 6 biorefinery projects over the next 4 years. Once fully operational, the funded biorefineries are expected to produce more than 130 million gallons of cellulosic ethanol each year. Over 400 groups representing agriculture, forestry, business, labor, and environment are backing a plan to reach an ambitious energy goal. The plan presented to lawmakers includes recommendations for getting 25% of the nation's energy supply from renewable sources by the year 2025. It's a goal known as 25 by 25. Well, EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson has told the House Appropriations Subcommittee on the Interior and Environment that his agency is developing a proposal to exempt farms from some reporting requirements under the federal toxic waste and right-to-know laws. He says the proposed rule to be released later this year would be narrower than those already languishing in Congress. And finally, the 2007 commodity classic marks the first time the nation's largest corn, soybean, and wheat organizations will all come together in one location. It's a year of hot issues like the upcoming Farm Bill, alternative fuel production, world trade negotiations, and competitiveness at home and abroad, all of which are on the agenda. But underlying those issues, finding common ground and using the collective voice of all three groups to get what's best for agriculture and all of the producers represented at the Commodity Classic. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Hilton Garden Conference Center in Kankakee at 6:30 for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. Panelists for tonight's meeting include Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and Sherman Newland, Branch Manager of Risk Management Commodities. That's at the Hilton Garden Conference Center in Kankakee. The meeting gets underway at 6:30 Central Time. No advance registration is required, and there is no charge for the meeting. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Well, up next, in today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says her organization is taking a careful look at the Bush administration's Farm Bill proposal.
The administration's 2007 Farm Bill proposal contributes to the debate surrounding the structure and funding of the nation's next farm program, and the American Farm Bureau Federation said it will analyze the proposal carefully as part of its efforts to secure a new farm law that provides the best opportunities for its members. Farm Bureau members across the country have repeatedly and strongly emphasized the need to keep the 2007 Farm Bill consistent and very similar to the concepts in the current bill. Members are keeping an open mind about the administration's proposal and intend to give it its full consideration. Farm Bureau members voted to support the concepts of the 2002 Farm Bill due mainly to its track record of success. Exports are as high as they have ever been, government outlays are lower, and farmers' debt-to-asset ratio is the lowest on record. Farm Bureau members have spoken clearly about their preference for commodity programs that use loans, fixed decoupled payments, and countercyclical support for American agriculture. The administration's proposal is broad and addresses those and a number of other priorities of the organization, such as conservation, renewable energy, and beginning farmer programs. Farm Bureau also recognizes the administration's efforts to provide support to the nation's fruit and vegetable producers. The administration's proposal will add to the debate as Congress begins its work. Farm Bureau will work to address areas such as payment limitations and means testing as other proposals come forward in the House and the Senate. This is Amy Rochkas with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkas' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850. Well, up next, the export market for U.S. corn is good, record-setting, in fact. But as you'll hear, that pace may not last through the next marketing year. The United States has been exporting corn at a record pace despite record high prices. Now, December corn futures at the Chicago Board of Trade went above the $4 mark for the very first time in January. Not only for the very first time for the 2007 December futures contract, but for all December contracts that have ever traded on the board. Truly, $4 December corn futures is an historic event. So is the fact that U.S. corn exports are on track to set a record at 2.25 billion bushels shipped this year, says University of Illinois Extension Ag economist Darrell Good.
That's up more than 100 million from last year, which was a big year. Put that in perspective, this would be our largest export year in 17 years. I think we're on track for doing that. We've moved a lot of corn. We have a lot of sales on the books, and so that's likely to happen. I don't think that will carry over into the 07-08 marketing year.
The current export market for U.S. corn was set up last spring when Argentina harvested a short crop and then further pushed along by the world shortage of wheat. Corn can sometimes be swapped out for wheat as a feed grain. Australia had a near-complete wheat crop failure last year. It all culminated in a very bright 06-07 export market for U.S. corn.
Mexico is kind of leading the way in terms of buying more U.S. corn, so we're seeing strong demand there. And China continues to be a modest exporter of corn. So all of that has come together and been very favorable for demand for U.S. corn.
Favorable for this marketing year, but that's likely to change with the harvest of the 2007 corn crop.
What we see is a much larger Argentine corn crop coming on. A monster of a corn crop in Brazil that will lead to some small exports from Brazil, perhaps another 30, 40 million bushels. A rebound in world wheat production, probably led by Australia. And ultimately, the impact of higher corn prices on consumption all suggest to me to expect perhaps some softening of export demand for corn as we move forward.
This season's wheat crop should rebound, and Darrell Good says that'll allow livestock producers around the world to put wheat back into their feed rations. Argentina and Brazil will put competition back into the corn export market with their 2007 harvests. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined this afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market by Bill Mayer of Rochag Marketing. He's located at the elevator in Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace as you view it today. It's been kind of a rocky week in both the corn and the soybeans, along with the wheat.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, too, here, the timing of this, because you know, March 1st is typically a day or a period where farmers need some cash, land payments, cash rent due, fertilizer bill, that type of thing. And we kind of see this sell off into this. But once they get past this period, as in Kay's word, you know, I think the bin doors may be locked here with lower prices. And that could, you know, that could give us some boost in the basis side of it, I think.
Kayla Whitlock, of course, telling us that yesterday during this segment on Wednesday afternoon. She said Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Bin doors locked up where you are?
I think they are with the lower prices here. The other thing that's happened is, the nearby bids here are rolling to bases versus the May, and that's always a period where sometimes you see things get a little bit weaker, but we really didn't see that here as processors and the exporters have changed their bids versus the May. They've stayed pretty equal, pretty steady on the basis side of it, maybe even a little bit stronger in some areas.
And what are your bids for the day?
$3.95 on the corn, $7.10 on beans.
Okay, we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
And that's Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joining us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. In just a couple minutes, we'll take a complete look at the weather forecast for the region and the globe. Pete Levitt will join us, quickly recapping one of the things that's been happening. A severe weather service in Lincoln has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Champaign County. That until 2:45 this afternoon. St. Joe, Sidney, Gifford, Ogden, and Homer are in the path of that storm. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A line of severe thunderstorms this afternoon left some damage, mainly in the city of Decatur. First reports from the National Weather Service mention a house damaged in the Lake Decatur area, as well as power outages and downed trees. As Todd just mentioned, eastern Champaign County remains under a severe thunderstorm warning for another 15 minutes as the storms move through to be succeeded by colder weather this evening. The head of the Illinois Department of Human Services says she has no plans to step down or fire her chief of staff, despite a sexual harassment scandal that's angered state lawmakers. Secretary Carol Adams says DHS is doing an outstanding job. Adams testified yesterday before a legislative panel on issues stemming from a federal sexual harassment suit filed in Chicago against her chief of staff, Tayanda Wirtz, by her former assistant. That suit was first reported by the Chicago Sun-Times. In it, Carlos Estes contends he was fired after refusing Wirtz's sexual advances during a state business trip to Springfield in 2003. DHS spokesman Tom Green, however, says Estes was fired for misusing a state vehicle. Bars will stay closed until 11 tomorrow morning in Champaign-Urbana, and there will be caps on ordering drinks as the University of Illinois campus prepares for a bar-sponsored day of binge drinking. The U of I is also warning students that it will enforce rules against disrupting classes during unofficial St. Patrick's Day, which could result in expulsion. Both cities also plan additional police presence. The city of Urbana will be asked by the end of this year to set up a public arts commission. Alderman Danielle Chenoweth will chair a 15-member task force that'll look at ways to encourage and possibly fund arts projects in Urbana. Chenoweth says supporting an arts community is important to improving the city's quality of life and giving residents a sense of place. The Indiana Gaming Commission is telling casinos to pull the plug on 23 video slot machines. The slots in five of the state's 11 casinos reportedly flash winning jackpot symbols for a split second. A commission spokeswoman says the move was a precaution to protect patrons. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture, taking a quick look at the watches and the warnings out for the area at the moment. A tornado watch in effect for Champaign, Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Shelby, and Vermilion counties in our immediate WILL listening area. That until 6 o'clock this evening. A severe thunderstorm watch also in effect for Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, Logan, and McLean counties until 7 o'clock this evening. Of course, those times are all central. Time now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest and around the globe. Pete Levitt joins us, meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Have you been watching this line of thunderstorms make it across East Central Illinois?
Yeah, actually, the line has just passed through Central Champaign and Champaign County, so it looks, looking at the radar pictures, that most of the action is just in the tier of eastern counties of Illinois with this first line. Perhaps there may be a second line, but it sure doesn't look like it on the radar now. We're getting too much dry air infused behind the system to expect another line to occur. But nevertheless, whatever I say, public still should pay attention to the National Weather Service forecasts on this issue.
You bet there's. They did pass over the top of us maybe 30 minutes ago, thereabouts right here in Champaign County, in Champaign, Illinois, where the where the station is located. As you look in behind that, what kind of air masses do we have? What kind of temperatures might we see?
Well, once again, we're going to go down. We've had these very mild temperatures today. And ahead of the front. The front is actually the squall line preceding the front. It's just gone by Champaign. And temperatures will cool off, and they'll be down in the sub-freezing zone by late Friday and Saturday. It looks like overnight lows then will be down near 20 on Saturday morning, maybe in the upper teens on Sunday. And then we start to come back again, but we're not going to get back real warm. We're just going to get back to normal or slightly above by next week. As far as precipitation is concerned, this is pretty much it. There may be a few snow showers tomorrow with unstable air and the like. A very intense storm over east central Iowa is moving northeastward toward Wisconsin, and that's driving all of this. And wind, yes, we can talk about plenty of wind, especially tonight and tomorrow. It's going to be a very windy period.
On the precip front, parts of South America have been pretty wet recently.
Yeah, they're doing okay. We've had some showers in southern Brazil, which they've needed for what they call their second corn crop. They plant a midsummer corn crop down there, or maybe early summer, and managed to get it harvested before the weather gets cold enough in Brazil to stall the crop. So that's going to help in extreme southern Brazil. And then Argentina has had some drier weather after some showers last week, and that's pretty favorable. So things seem to be rolling on all right. I still think it's a little too wet in north, or has been too wet north, for the best results for the soybean crop in the central west areas of southern Brazil.
And then you might check in on Australia. How have they recovered, if at all, from their severe drought?
Well, they're still dry and they're warm, but the good news is that they haven't recovered yet from the drought, but it looks like we're going into a La Nina pattern pretty quickly, much more quickly than most people expected earlier. They thought we'd go through what we call a La Nada period where there was nothing going on, but it looks like it's headed cold. And the reason I bring that up is because one of the higher correlations of La Nina is good precipitation for Australia in the eastern half of the country and in many of their driest wheat areas. So with a La Nina on the way, it may not look so good now, but I think things will improve over the next month or so.
Well, you gave us a new word today, and I actually really liked it. El Nino, La Nina, and La Nada.
Yeah, the neutral just didn't hack it for us, so we decided La Nada really explains.
That's a lot of fun. Thanks much, Pete. Okay. And we'll talk to you soon again, okay?
Yeah, my pleasure.
And Pete Leavitt, meteorologist, joins us here at the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday afternoon. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening commodity market report with your director of ag programming, Dave Dickey. He'll be in Kankakee tonight. If you get the opportunity, go out and see him at the Ag Outlook panel. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.